Have you considered getting into the media? TV, magazines, newspaper. That's what today's guest we're going to dive into. And we had a brilliant conversation all about the similarities of speaking and also PR, getting into the media and how they really actually complement each other. And when you do the groundwork, you, instead of pitching yourself, you're going to be invited, both invited on stages, invited to contribute into magazines, or invited on TV. So let's get on to the show.
You're listening to Be in Demand, the podcast for honest advice, inspiring stories, and ideas for growing your business by leveraging the expert that you are. I'm your host, Loria Mirabito, business mentor, and I'm also a reformed painfully shy girl, red wine lover, and exercise enthusiast. Join me as I share how being positioned as the expert in your industry, even if it's a busy one, will help you stand out and be the one in demand to hire and work with.
So welcome back to another episode of Be in Demand. And I have brought on a lovely friend of mine, Adela, who you are going to notice from her accent. She is not from here in the US, which makes her way interesting to listen to. And that's something that I actually talk about. Women have very interesting voices, and women from where either English is their second language or there is an accent just makes you so interesting to listen to. So that just kind of, I just want to like debunk that particular myth that's out there. But she works with people to help people get into the media, another wonderful form of authority building. So Adela, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lorianne. Thank you so much for introducing me. And yes, as you can hear, I have a very strong British accent. So every time I go to the US, I do typically get people coming up to me saying, I love your accent. And actually, the best comment was in Texas about 6 weeks ago, where you and I met, Lorianne, in person, finally. And someone came up to me and said, oh my God, I thought you were an actor. Your accent's so cool. So I'll take that bit of a celebrity moment in Texas.
Yes. So talking about celebrity moments, I mean, it must be so wonderful for like your clients or even anybody, like that first time that you get into the media. Mm. What's that like?
Well, I remember the first time I got into the media was when I was 9 years old, 8 years old. I was being interviewed about the benefits of roller skating, and I was straight on television. And I didn't have a business then. I just enjoyed roller skating. So that was the very first time I got into the media. But I think the most significant, she's a couple of moments, but I'll talk about the moment where I got into the media in a huge six-page feature, but it was because I was selected as one of the top 10 female founders in the UK by Cosmopolitan magazine. So in 2016, it was the kind of era, the girl boss era that was happening across the state and the UK, you know, Sophie Amoroso and all of that. And it was becoming a bit of a thing. And the editor of Cosmopolitan, Farah Storr, at the time, did a sort of national hunt for the top 10 female founders. And I ended up entering a competition, wanting free co-working space, and didn't really know that I was entering something bigger than I thought it was. And then I got invited to a big conference where I had to pitch in front of a panel of three people. One was Farah on the panel. The second person was Anna Jones, who was the former CEO of Hearst magazine, which owns most of the publications across the US and the UK. Yeah. And the third person was a communications advisor to our former prime minister, David Cameron. So it was very much like Shark Tank, standing there pitching. But I realized when I walked into that room that there were only 30 people pitching that day. So I knew they'd narrowed it down to 30. So it was a bit of like Britain's Got Talent. You've got an opportunity, go for it. And I did the pitch. But the most interesting thing was that two out of three panelists already knew me. And the third person wondered why they didn't know me. So they already recognized me because I had already been prolific in networking with media professionals for over, 4 or 5 months consistently every week, going to events, sitting in the front row, pitching for articles, that they knew me before I, when I walked into that room, before I even did the verbal pitch. And as a result of that, I was one of the 10 people who got picked. I kid you not, it was under the headline World Domination. Sounded like a Bond movie, World Domination. And there was this amazing photo shoot by a man who photographs all the world's like presidents, prime ministers, singers, you know, Sting in his lunch break, that kind of caliber of photographer. And I was in the shoot in the middle, you know, luckily not on the centerfold. And the most interesting thing about that, Lauriane, was when that article came out, I picked up the magazine and went to a restaurant and, you know, saw some friends and we opened the magazine together. And actually what was interesting was not my reaction, because I already knew that the article was coming out. I knew what I'd said in the interview. It was their reaction to me being in the media. And that is interesting. Other people's perceptions of you when you're featured. And it's not just clients. It's not just the people that you've constantly wanted collaborations with who've been ignoring you for 6 months and suddenly end up in your inbox because they've seen the article. It's also the personal relationships that happen, you know, at that time, like how people see you. Oh, you're a big deal now. Who do you think you are? And that can bring up things and emotions around that. So,
You know, going back to when you were talking about like the three people that were on the panel, two of them knew you and one person was like, why don't I know you? Yes. To me, like, as you were telling that, I was just like, that just goes to back to the like relationships.
Yes.
And why we have to get out from behind the computer and get seen by the right people in magazines, on TV, on stages. It is that credibility and constantly, I mean, this is why the name of my podcast is called Be in Demand. It's not, geez, who's the like PR program can I tell? Well, you want people to say, you have to take Adela's.
Yes. You know. But it's interesting because what I set out to disrupt a little bit was actually that not everything has to be done in real life, right? So if you are an expert and you are brilliant at what you do, and especially now that the world of work has really shifted to online and people are accessing global markets, what I set out to do was to bring world-class journalists to you in a remote newsroom, in a remote setting where you can get to interact with them online and build relationships. So it's absolutely phenomenal that I've got clients in the US who have built relationships in the past 12 months with journalists here in the UK, and the journalists in the UK haven't even met them in person, but they're featuring them because the trust is there. So I think it's interesting, this conversation. I love meeting people in real life, but if you're listening today and you're an expert sitting in the middle of the forest, you know, in a tiny village, thinking, what impact can I make in the world? I don't live in New York. I don't live in London. I don't live in Hong Kong. I don't live in these central hubs around the world. Who is going to pay attention to little old me? I'm here to tell you, you can. You can do it online, and there are ways to do it.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those ways, because this authority building is what I love. You know, like I keep telling people, like, you know, what I help people do is write and deliver amazing presentations. Yes. You know, because people that are in the audience look at the person that's in the front of the room as you're the expert, and clients hire experts.
Yes.
You can be sitting down next to the person who's very similar to the person that's in the front of the room, or let's take PR, who's in the magazine. It's like, who are you going to hire? You're hiring the person in the magazine.
Yes, exactly. And actually, you think to bring together this idea of PR and magazines and features and being on television, for example, radio interviews, and this art of speaking on stages, the kind of commonality between all of those things is the fact that you are a thought leader and you are sharing your thoughts, right? So what I tell my clients very, you know, in my mastermind is, if in order to be a thought leader, you need to have thoughts, right? And it's amazing that so many people have opinions, right? They're picking up a magazine article, they're watching the news, and they're seeing, you know, an expert in the same field as them talking about something. And they're saying to themselves, oh, I could do a better job than that. Or why are they not talking about this? This is way more important. And I always say that's a sign from the universe telling you, tapping you on the back of the shoulder and saying, come on, stop keeping your opinions to yourself and start sharing those thoughts and those opinions out there in the world.
Are you ready to leverage speaking as your best form of marketing? There are over 7,500 events looking for speakers every single day. Speaking positions you as the expert in the room, but you probably don't know where to start. So I created this great resource called the Directory of Places to Speak. This resource will help you get started today. So head on over to speakandstandout.com/directory to grab your free copy now. Don't miss this opportunity to be the expert speaking to audiences filled with your ideal clients.
Well, whether it's on a stage, whether it's a written article, whether it's on a TV panel, you know, or a radio show, share them, because if you want to be a thought leader, you need to have thoughts and you need to get those thoughts out into the world. And yes. That's the saddest thing, isn't it? When you meet these phenomenal experts and they're hidden away and no one knows about them. It's sad.
Yeah, and we need more really good thought leaders, because I think that we just, you know, otherwise everybody's vanilla. And it's like, we aren't even stretching our minds to like, oh, that's an interesting perspective. Like what's the domino effect of that? Like what could possibly happen? But unless our minds are stretched.
100%. And I talk about this a lot, Laurie, and I'm really glad you raised this. So I always say that, you know, we need diversity in the media because we need the media to reflect the true diversity of the population. People with different backgrounds, different kind of from income brackets, different sexualities, different colors, shapes, sizes. I'm truly passionate about that, because otherwise we end up seeing a very skewed media with just the same cookie cutter people featured constantly. And interestingly, I'm very close to a lot of phenomenal journalists, and weirdly, one of my clients you know, from 3 years ago, who worked with me, is now on the other side of the fence. She's a writer, and is now almost like a journalist. She's writing regular 4-page features, 6-page features, featuring other experts. So we had a beautiful moment where she came in and into my mastermind to teach when she was on the other side as a student 3 years ago. But she recently interviewed a grief coach, a very famous grief coach here in the UK, that anytime there's a conversation around grief, this individual gets in the media. Very well connected, you know, friend of Princess Diana when she was alive. This woman has an MBE. And she's amazing, right? I'm not saying she's not amazing, but there is room to have more than one grief expert talking about grief. People from different colors, backgrounds, wealth income backgrounds, you know, everything. And so I said that to her and she said, you know what? Of course. I just went for the number one name because that's the only person I see out there. So it's so interesting. And I'm talking to a potential client who is a grief expert. There is room for you in the market. And she actually said the same thing's happening in the US. There's this one guy who's a grief expert and he's always in the media. And the reason they're in the media is because not enough other people are putting themselves forwards. So they get the opportunities.
Right.
So yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, it's coincidentally, as we are recording this, this is actually National Grief Week.
Oh, is it?
And the only reason why I know that is because one of my clients is a grief expert. That's exactly what she does. Yes. And I always learn interesting things, like there are 40 different types of grief.
Yes. I think we might be talking about the same person, actually. I had the same question with her recently.
So interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that there is room for so many voices in the media. And so if you're seeing the same kinds of people talk about your subject, that's a sign for you to put yourself forwards and take up space. Because honestly, the journalists, the columnists, the editors, they don't want to keep reaching out to the same people. It's boring for their readers.
Yeah.
They want their readers to discover fresh experts. And actually, there's also an ego thing as well. And so I really do think like a journalist here, they love discovering new experts. Everyone loves someone new. Fresh. So lean into that.
Interesting. That's great. That's great advice. And I'm going to like switch gears a little bit here. Cause like, as you know, like if you're getting in the media or you're deciding to like start with speaking, you know, it depends on which one you want to do, but they both are going to like go hand in hand. If you decide like, hey, I'm going to concentrate on being in the media. Well, guess what? When you start pitching yourself to be on stages, it's going to be so easy. Like here are all the different places that I've been in. Like it's already building your authority and vice versa. Like here are the stages, here are the people that I've shared the stage with. It's like, yeah, I want to like feature you in Forbes or Entrepreneur or any other, you know, like local newspaper, even. They just go hand in hand.
Oh, 100%, Lauriane. And actually it's, I'm so pleased you raised that point, because I think if you end up concentrating on one form of media, you can end up selling yourself a little bit short, because they all kind of intertwine and support one another to legitimize you and build your authority and credibility as an expert. So for example, about three weeks ago, inside my media mastermind, we brought in a TV producer, because a lot of my clients want to get guest slots on television. And what the TV producer was saying, and this is advice I've also been aware of for many years, is that when you want to put yourself forwards for a TV opportunity, you have something called a guest booker or a researcher sitting there kind of in a couple of minutes Googling you and seeing where else you've been featured. How credible are you as an expert? And so say you put yourself forwards and you said, let's take the grief example, for example. It's National Grief Week. A grief expert wants to put themselves for a morning show. The researcher will Google them. And if that person has written many articles, and they've been featured 4-page articles, 6-page articles, talking about the 40 different types of grief. If that person has been at a conference speaking on stages about 40 different types of grief, then the researcher in that newsroom in that minute will see that there is a digital footprint, a history of that person repeatedly talking about that subject, that specific topic, and they are more likely to bring you in because they don't have to take a risk. You cannot put someone on camera and take a risk on them talking about a subject that they do not speak about day in and day out. So the fact that that person has spoken on stages on that subject and written articles and has a digital footprint means you're 100% likely to get a yes. Does that make sense?
That is so important to hear. And I'm so glad that you said this, because you're right. Even meeting planners, they want to make sure that they are hiring somebody who is an expert on whatever the topic is, grief, web designing, you know, like I even tell like virtual assistants, like, you know, like speak to audiences, but you're right. They are they're going to look them up.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, like shame on them if they don't look them up, but just to be able to see.
They will look them up. I've worked in a newsroom and they will always look those people up, because you will never take the risk on a fresh expert. That person is an expert, right? And I worked in a 24-hour newsroom at Sky Sports News. And the subject was, you know, soccer, American football, like every single sport under the sun. It's the equivalent of ESPN in the US. It's huge, absolutely huge. You will never bring in an expert. You will ruin your TV station overnight if you put someone poor, like not poor, but right. Poor quality expert.
Yes, yes.
Because you'll get all the, the tweets and the angry tweets. You know, it's pretty, you need good people to showcase your brands when you're bringing these experts. So
how do you, I mean, besides like having that digital footprint, which, you know, I'm imagining like also blogging can also help, maybe guest blogging as you're getting started, you know, getting into magazines and newspapers. But what other tips do you have for people?
The first tip I say is actually start before you're ready. Before you feel ready, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think that in order to be in the media, they've got to have the perfect website, the perfect signature talk, the perfect offer, the perfect product. And they make all these excuses. And recently I've been talking about the differences between men and women. And actually, this is when I get a lot of women sitting up and listening, which is a lot of men start before they're ready. They go for opportunities. Whereas women hold themselves back. They say, oh, no, it has to be absolutely perfect. Whereas if you're a serial entrepreneur, if you're a serious expert, you will know that you will never be ready. You will never hit perfection because your business is organic. It's constantly evolving and growing. So why not start putting your, if you really are passionate about your subject, just say, let's go back to grief. If you really know your work, even if you're changing your business, evolving your offers, but you have been doing this work for at least 3 years and you know it, you should be in the media straight away because you will then be refining your message, building relationships with journalists and TV producers, you know, speaking people, you know, TEDx people. I've got a great story for you with one of my clients for TEDx. But there's just so many opportunities you're missing out on if you just wait for this day.
You know, the speaking world is really dominated by male speakers.
Yes.
And you're right. They raised their hand. They said, I'll do it. I'm willing to do this. You know, whereas you're right that I think the women have just said, I'm not ready yet. I don't know enough. It's got to be perfect. But you're right. Like, you have got to do this before you're ready. My very first speech, I somehow said yes to speaking. And I was just like, I don't, like, I'm the shy girl. Like, how, like, why was my head like shaking yes? And inside I was like, what are you doing? But I just showed up and then I served. So I guess like not knowing what could potentially go wrong, like never entered my mind.
Yes.
Thank goodness. But yeah, it is all about like, you got to get ready to be ready.
Yes, exactly. You know? And it's in the act of doing that you develop and that you grow. Lorianne, are many of your listeners today, would you say some of them are TEDx? Do they aspire to speak, give a TEDx talk? Is that something that they do?
I've myself helped a number of people with their TEDx talks. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very different speech, but you already alluded to the fact that you have a story. So tell me the story.
Yeah. And I think it's a beautiful story, right? So if many of your listeners today are working on giving, you know, speeches on stages. A really beautiful story to share with you is one of my clients, Sarah Averam. She approached me last October, to join my media mastermind. And I said, why do you want to join, Sarah? And she said, because I have a TED talk coming out. I've recorded it and it's due to come out in January. And I said, okay. And she said to me, you know, I know that when I put my TED talk out, the average number of views for a TED talk is 2,000 views. And I want way more than that, right? I hear from people, I need to do PR on my TED talk. And immediately I sort of hugged her through the screen and I said, okay, I love it. And, you know, her subject was very timely. It was remote work. And we had just come out of the pandemic. So, you know, it was a timely subject with a passionate expert about the subject. So those two elements were there. So we started working on getting her in the media as soon as she joined in November of 2022. She started really putting herself out there, building these relationships with journalists. And she was just on fire, absolutely on fire. She was just getting these media features. And you know, she was getting a media feature on average every month. Now, here's the best bit. The TEDx team put her TED talk on a TEDx chapter page, right? And it started to build up views, right? It was popular and they saw that and it had 28,000 views, right? So it went from 2,000, what she was expecting, 2,000, it went up to 28,000. She then gets excited and tells me on a call that she had just got an email from the TED team saying, and this was about 4 or 5 months ago, we want to put your talk, we've selected your talk, one out of six talks, we're going to put six talks on the TED homepage, and we're going to build a podcast around that talk, and we're going to promote it. But what we also want to ask you is some questions, because we've seen that you've been talking about your subject in the media recently. And they started to quote lines, Lorianne, from her media articles back at her. So what had happened, and Sarah and I had concluded this, is that a researcher had to decide from the top 10 TED Talks, and they had picked her talk, and they had gone online and Googled her, and they had seen that she was still talking about this subject, and she was getting in the media, like BBC, Forbes, Insider, everywhere she was getting, right? And then they had decided to promote her talk to the TED homepage because of the digital footprint that she had worked hard to build over 2023. And here's a beautiful piece. She is now at 700,000 views for that TED
Good
talk.
Good for her. Wow.
And
here's here's what I'm hearing is that she gave the right TED talk, something that she was interested in, something that she's passionate about, that she became a thought leader in, and just did like, more people need to see this. More people need to see this.
Oh, yes.
And that's all that she did was talk about it.
She did. And she's one of my most successful clients because she never stopped talking about her subject. And here's the best bit, right? Here's the most interesting bit, is that she changed her messaging as the year went on. Right. So do you remember I said, even if you don't feel you've hit this perfection stage, yes. Sarah started, her TED talk was about remote work. And by the end of like month 9, she was starting to talk about work fulfillment, right? What gives you fulfilling work? And it's not just about going to Bali and living on a beach and being remote. It's actually what is fulfilling work. So she evolved her message. And what we had concluded together was through the art of talking to journalists inside my media mastermind, twice a month, I bring in journalists. Twice a month, she was talking about her story to the world's best communicators, you know, journalists regularly. And they were helping her evolve her message. Yeah. And so she changed it. And she was like, I never thought that that would happen. I never thought that I would shape my messaging through the art of being in the media.
The art of being in the media, through the art of being on stage.
Yes.
You're right. Like so many people say, like, all right, I'll hire you when I've refined my message. I'm just like, no, you're missing a great opportunity, because the more you get out there and talk about what you're passionate about is what's going to help you fine tune your messaging.
Yes.
Who's to say, like, even 2 years from now that you'll be talking about the same thing, because maybe things have changed.
Exactly. And the best part of the story is in exactly 1.5 hours time, I'm going to be on a call with a friend. I used to work at Accenture and used to hire experts to come in during my lunch break and bring them in to talk about a subject. And I'm going to speak to one of my old friends and I'm going to recommend her for a speaking gig. So my dream now for her is to get a five figure speaking opportunity at Accenture. And develop a relationship with that individual. But I am also particularly fussy, and I wouldn't be putting her forwards unless I knew that she's got that strong digital media footprint. And she's done the work. She's done the work for the past year.
Right.
She really loves her subject and doesn't stop talking about it. See, I know. I feel she's credible enough to put her in front of senior contacts now. See, this is where, when you lay the groundwork and you start building that authority and credibility and trust with those around you, Lorianne, the money starts coming in. So,
yeah. And there's such a domino effect to PR stages, or just, you know, like we could even refine it and just say your thought leadership, like getting it out there in all these different ways. Like there's like, you just heard this story about this beautiful woman and the domino effect of one talk. You know, yes. Like I always say, like speaking is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
I think the same thing is true for the media. Media is the gift. I mean, it doesn't go away. Like it's there.
Yes, yes. And if you are a good speaker and you can twin that up with writing as well, it's actually very attractive. So Sarah has landed commissions from editors to write about her subject. And so that's why she was getting these beautiful words out there in the media, 4-page articles, 6-page articles, and leaving that digital footprint. So, you know, I'm very passionate about people sort of, if you want to be a thought leader and you're getting thoughts out there, make sure you're trying to hit as many different mediums as possible, because they all work hand in hand together.
That's so true.
I mean, even yesterday, I hired a former BBC journalist to come into my mastermind and teach my clients how to get onto TV, because next year I want to get as many of them on TV guest appearances. And the funny thing is that I went to school with this individual, but I hadn't seen her since I was 14, right? But I discovered that she was now teaching others how to get into television media because I read an article about her in the Telegraph 6 months ago. So it just gets very meta in my world. Like, she was being paid to guest speak because I saw her and read about her in the media. And I thought, oh, she's doing that. I should reach out to her. I went to school with her. So yes, there was a form of recognition, but the mm-hmm. article in the Telegraph was about her thought leadership, about her expertise. And that's why she got paid yesterday.
And again, another reason why you just need to be doing the right things. Build your authority, get in front of the right people, build that name recognition.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
become yes. that person that people like that they're talking about or they recognize when they read an article. And you just never know, like somebody could be on a committee or looking to hire a speaker and they read about you in an article. It's like, I know that person. I've met them. I've seen them speak before, and they would be perfect for this year's conference, our theme, and ta-da, that's how you get people reaching out to you, asking you to speak or be in the media, you know, without you doing a whole lot of work because you already did the work.
Yes, yes. And I think when you do land those opportunities, you know, I certainly see it in the past year with my clients, you build so much confidence. When you see your name in the media, when you see your name in a pamphlet for a speaking engagement, it gives you so much credibility that you walk a lot little taller, a little higher, and you feel like the world is your oyster. You know, when I was featured in Cosmopolitan magazine, when I was in the Sunday Times, I was in all these places. I was invited to speak at General Assembly and Accenture and law firms. I did a lot of speaking in 2016 and 2017. I didn't stop speaking at that period. But you know, it was laying down that authority and that digital footprint. And what you notice, actually, Oriane, and you probably know this now with your clients as well, is that when you've had a burst of yourself in the media and on stages for a period of at least 2 years or a year and a half, invitations replace pitching.
Yes. Yes.
And so you then enter this period of ease in your business where you don't need to keep pitching to people.
Right.
Because people invite you to things and it's a lot more efficient.
Yeah.
But you need to put in that groundwork. So Sarah Averam, my amazing client, you know, she's put in a lot of groundwork. And so invitations will replace pitching for her next year for sure. Because
good
it's there.
For her. Good for her. I love that story. Thank you. You are obviously so damn passionate about what you're doing because I can just like feel your energy and regarding your mastermind and how you're helping people.
Thank you so much, Oriane. Yeah, you know what I'm really passionate about is the stories, right? I'm very passionate about transformation for the person at the other end. So I just know that there's a lot of people out there who need support. And so I think a lot of journalists and editors and TV producers, they trust me because they know that I have the eye for identifying the expert who's truly passionate about the transformation for someone at the other end. And so I always say, lead with the story and not your ego. I can tell within a millisecond if someone is all about themselves as opposed to helping someone. And if it is all about yourself, you get bored of yourself eventually. You're not going to want to keep talking about that subject anymore. But if you talk to your barista about how they can get over their grief with 40 types of grief or, you know, menopause, women in menopause. If you're that level of passionate and everyone, including your barista, knows what you do, I want to hear from you.
That's right. That's right. So great segue. Where can people find you, follow you, and learn more about what you do?
Oh, thank you so much for asking, Loriane. Easy way of finding out about me is you can follow me on Instagram at Adela, A-D-E-L-A, double underscore, Hussain, H-U-S-S-A-I-N.
And I'll make sure that that's down in the show notes for anybody who's driving.
Please. Yeah, follow me. I'm very active on Instagram. And the other thing you can do is if you are the kind of person who really is hungry to get media features. I have a beautiful guide on 10 steps to getting in the media. And if you're a speaker and you like going to in-person events, it's actually a really great sort of 10-step process on how to get into the media by going to in real life events. And that 10-step guide I've used to land some amazing features in Harvard Business Review, Sunday Times, various women's lifestyle magazines. So you can download that 10-step guide at pitchtopress.com.
Oh, wonderful. I'm going to definitely go snag my copy of that. Thank you so much for coming here and just sharing your brilliance with my audience. I know that I learned a number of things, took some notes, and I'm sure that anybody who's listening to this also got a wealth of knowledge.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure. I love talking to you.
Thank you. So everybody else, till next week, be in demand.
Thanks for hanging out with me. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And join me over in my private Facebook group for more tips, community, and free trainings. You'll find the link in the show notes. You can also help this podcast reach more listeners by leaving a review. And as a thank you, each month I pick one of my reviewers to win a free coaching call with me. So if you haven't done so already, please leave a review and you could be the next winner.